Mr. Clifford Beard on the 9th September 2014. Where and when were you born, Cliff?
Well, I wasn't born locally. I was born in 1931 in Alfreton, moved to Riddings in 1934 because my dad got a job at Piebridge, the ironworks down at the bottom there. In 1939, we moved to Jacksdale on Wagstaff Lane, and then later on Providence Road. I'm the eldest of four children by the first marriage. I have sisters Hazel, Molly, and Geoffrey, who came along 18 years after I was born. I married, my wife came from Alfreton. We were married in 1955, and we've got two children. Sadly, I'm now widowed because my wife died in 2011.
Have you any brothers and sisters still alive?
Yes, all my brothers and sisters are alive.
Well, they're living long. You must have good genes. Yeah. Can you remember anything in your early days before school? You got any memories at all about anything?
Yes. The first thing I can remember about anything was being in Rowell's shop in Alfreton, and a bee or a wasp came and I smashed it into my eye. And of course there was panic then, eye baths and everything, but that's the first incident I can remember, and I think I would be 2.5 to 3 years of age. Very first recollection.
Yeah, you find a lot of people have got one thing what sticks out in the mind from those years, yeah. And your school, was Jacksdale the first one you started at, Cliff?
No, I went to Riddings Infants and later the junior school because I was coming up nine when I came to Jacksdale. So I went there first and then I entered Jacksdale Primary School.
Was there any particular subjects you preferred in those days, in around about 8, 9-ish?
Well, no, I didn't dislike school, but some were rather boring. It was wartime, and most of the teachers were women because their husbands had been called up. I can remember Mrs. Doris Mann, Miss Yvonne Timmins, who had a son, they lived at the a brother rather, who was killed in Arnhem whilst I was there. There was a Miss Burnham, who later became Mrs. Eggleshaw, and Mrs. Woplington, and the head teacher was Mr. Alec Pringle. On entering the school for the very first time, there was sadness in the room, and I couldn't make out what it was. And a girl had died, I think, the week or so before, of diphtheria. And I found out that it was Bill Bulmer's daughter. And I believe it was diphtheria. But, I got along well with the other children and we were helped to get along by evacuees who came. And the evacuees that came to Jacksdale, as far as I know, came from Birmingham and then some came from Kent or London.
Did any live with your family at all?
No. But, funnily enough, we've mentioned Mr. Bulmer. The two barber sons, one lived with Mr. Bulmer, and Bill Barber got some very reasonable job at Butley Company later, I remember. And the other one, Sid Barber, he lived with a family called Podmore's up, I believe, Edward Avenue, and he became a teacher. And as it was wartime, we had lots of practice in case of an air raid, actual or presupposed. And I had to go to the Granger's house, which was behind one of the Wilbraham's shops. And there we just had to wait till the all clear went, and then we went back. But the only wartime connection I can remember that affected bombing was a stick of 9 bombs in the meadows leading up to the Monkey Bridge, and being the sky being lit up one night, and living on Wagstaff Lane, we could see all over Ripley and Alfreton, and it was like a big fireworks display. And I believe they dropped incendiaries probably on the way to Sheffield or trying to find Derby or something like that. But they were, you know, some of the memories that...
Did you have the usual thing, carry a gas mask around with you, too?
Oh, yes, yes, one had to do that. If you're a very young child, it was quite a business with... you more or less had a big basket. But, yes, we... And we had practices, and quite honestly, we thought it was funny, but of course, if the proper occasion had have come...
Well, was it any of the family involved who faced all Second World Wars at all, do you know?
Yes. My uncle, Ralph Webb, he was in the fire brigade, and he had to go to London and deal with the activities there. My father worked at the Royal Ordnance Factory, Nottingham, and their factory was, well, they attempted to bomb it several times, but no one actually in the forces.
How long were you at Jacksdale School, Cliff?
Well, when I was actually 10 or nearly 10, I went in for the Henry Mellish scholarship.
Was there 11 plus or anything in those days?
No, no. One went to, if you're clever enough, to do exams for the Henry Mellish, and the girls went to Mansfield or Sutton. But I remember I wasn't quite 10, and I went to do the scholarship for the Henry Mellish School at Bull. Well, I was given an assisted place, not a scholarship, and my father wouldn't pay the fees. So it was a pity, because in 1945 they were scrapped anyway. But I remember Ivor Barker, who lived on Wagstaff Lane, he passed and went there. Yes. It is now my brother-in-law, because he married my eldest sister, Hazel. But I stayed at Jacksdale School until I was either 13 or 14. And then I had to choose to go in for either the West Notts Technical School, Mansfield, or the Notts Pupil Teacher Training School or Centre at Nottingham.
Was you even thinking in those days about becoming a teacher? Was it of interest?
Yes.
Or were you a bit too young to think about that?
No. I had some good advice from a Dan who said, hold on to that pen, otherwise you'll be lost, with a few expletives.
Yeah.
No. So I decided to go in for the Notts Pupil Teacher Centre exam. And I got a place there. We were the first boys to go along. It was mainly girls who had done this. We spent 2 days in the local schools observing and doing our homework, doing little minor tasks, you know, getting to know the children, etc. And then 3 days at the teacher centre in the University College on Shakespeare Street in Nottingham. And in the 4 years up to when we were 18, we took the ordinary equivalent of GCE exams and the higher certificate exam in those days.
By the way, did you go on the railway door or by bus?
Oh, no, we went on the railway. Oh. We went on the railway.
Yeah.
And
from Jacksdale.
From Jacksdale. I remember running down Wagstaff Lane, seeing the smoke from the train on its way from Pinkston Pyle into Jacksdale.
Yeah.
Running down the lane, and then, of course, the serious number of steps up to the platform.
Yeah.
But we never missed it.
No.
And it was a very busy train, the 8 o'clock or thereabouts. Mm. But, yes, I was joined at the centre by another local boy, Howard Peach, who lived up Stony Lane at Southston.
He's died now,
No.
In fact,
he came last Wednesday to see me. He lives in East Yorkshire.
Oh.
But we kept up an acquaintance. And funnily enough, at the teacher centre, very unusual, we got paid £1.50 a month for the first 3 years, and then £5 a month in the last year. Not very large amounts, but...
Was that towards expenses or just...
Well, it was just something that they did.
Oh.
It just shows you how unusual.
Oh, yeah.
And then, ironic, that later, when I did go to teacher training college, I went to Borough Road College at Isleworth, which is part of the University of London. And... that was a famous centre for the monitorial system, something similar to what it was doing.
Yeah.
People like Joseph Lancaster in the 19th century developed that. But, yes, so that was my intention to go.
Yeah. As a younger lad, did you have regular friends, and what sort of things did you do as an 8, 9, 10-year-old?
Well, the life was centred around the huts on Main Road.
Still there?
Yes. The Scouts and the Cubs and the Parsonage at the top of Wagstaff Lane, the Parsonage Field. They were the centres where we played, we went camping in the Parsonage Field, Condor Park Quarry, opposite the Res, which is no longer there.
Mm.
And then we went on the annual camps to Babworth near Retford. And contemporaries, I can think of Roy Page, Tucker Mills, Alan Foxholmes, Alan Maskery, George Rushby, Tom Bakewell. And I also enjoyed playing football, and I used to go down to Westwood and watch Westwood United play with the characters like the Sharrods from... Back Lane, I think it was.
Yeah.
And Fred Parking used to play there.
Were you very sporty at all in your younger days?
Played football.
Yeah.
I did play hockey later for Alfreton and Belper, but no, I then had to resort to being the family man.
Yeah.
But the main activities were based around St Mary's Church, where I was a member, and a member of the choir. And I always remember one of the duties we had to do was pumping the organ.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
And before they got an electric motor, we had to keep pumping air. And there's a scale on the side, and it ever got lower than that, the organ would squeak and be no air. It was quite funny, that was.
Yeah. Were all the family church or chapel goers?
No. No, it was just something that I did.
Yeah.
No.
In those days, could you afford, or did you go on holiday anywhere in the wartime years? Or
yes, I can remember one year we went to Skegness or Inglemills with my mother and another family. But basically, I think the first holiday we all went on was in the late 50s.
Mm.
We went to Bournemouth. Even my dad went, which was something unusual.
Well, Christmases, what was Christmases like in those days, Cliff?
Well...
Before of you, was it? Five?
Yes. Well, we always had Christmas I actually spent a lot of time at my grandparents' in Alfreton, but I can remember when I was back home, we would go in the choir. I was actually in the choir, and we used to go to local houses and sing, e.g. Searson's along Selston Lane, and the bottom house on Laverick Road, someone called Worthington. And of course we used to get a mince pie or something like that. But yes, we enjoyed the time.
Did you take the old picture palace at all?
Yes, I mean, I can remember chopping sticks and selling them and getting money to go in. And yes, that was on a Saturday.
What do you like, westerns or...?
Oh, anything that was on in those days,
After training college, what did you go to secondary school? After Henry Mellish? Favourite training after Henry Mellish?
No, my secondary education was at the Pupil Teacher Centre in Nottingham.
Yeah.
That was until I was 18. And then I was going to go straight to college, but I had to do my national service first, and I spent...
Did you find national service was a bit of a bind? Or did it give you something else in life, say, you know? And...
Well, when you think about it, it was basically a waste of time in your progress, but it taught you many things, how to get on with people, not to take what everyone said as gospel. You found the hard way sometimes, and it taught you that, you know, you had to do certain things if you're ordered to do them.
Yeah.
After square bashing, I was posted to Wittering, on just south of Stamford, but that's a large air station. But in those days, it hadn't got proper runways, and we just lived in some of the old barracks there, and were taken in a lorry through Stamford, Market Deeping, into the Fens, and I was underground in a bunker for most of the time, doing fighter plotting. Now, that is the reporting side of radar. But I did get a move to Watnall, which was very handy, in the bunker, which only last year was opened up and someone's made a big house of it. It's down by the railway station at Watnall. But again, it was fighter plotting, and I did movements. I used to volunteer for the early shift, so I could get away and get home.
No thoughts of staying in?
Oh, no. None at all.
No. After national service, did you go back to college or...?
Yes, I went from 51 to 53 to do my teacher training. And after that, in 1953, I was given a teaching post at Matthew Holland School, under the headship of John Edge, and I taught a variety of subjects. But in 59, I moved to Jacksdale Primary School, where the head was Mr. Larkinson from Mansfield, and I taught in the main third and fourth year classes.
Any particular subject, Cliff?
No. When in primary, you do the whole range of subjects. There are probably certain things that you do that, you know, say boys' games, you could do those, and another teacher could do something else.
At that time, would you prefer to just teach one subject, or were you thinking of a particular subject that you liked more than any other?
Well, I think that came out in your teaching, through your interest. But I remember teaching in the hut, corrugated hut, in the corner of the Jacksdale school ground.
Yeah.
Whether that's still there or not, I don't know. But I remember having to contend with the pot-bellied boiler belching out, moving of furniture ready for lunch, after lunch getting the furniture back because they had meals there.
Yeah.
But despite all those things, I had some very, very able children. And I know one year I got 18 scholarships for them out of about 35, which was very good.
Yeah.
In actual fact, we used to do a monthly world chart and get the children writing articles about every subject they were interested in. And when I left there, I collected one or two of the pieces, and we called it Pieces of Eight. That was basically the class eight.
Yeah.
And some of the children's names I can remember, and I've seen some of them since. Jenny Ball, Helen Clay, Sally Haddon, Felicity and Gillian Hutton, Anita Lapikins, Sandra Johnson, Andrew Parkin, Paul Butlin, John Wilmot, Janice Bramley, Janet Lowe, Christine Rawson, Andrew and Richard Mardo, Rex Derbyshire, Christopher Brown, and Janet Marks. And I look at the photograph with most of those on, and I can still
remember
who they are.
Yeah. Were the classes large in those days, Cliff?
35 to 38.
Have you ever had problems with them like they do nowadays?
There are very few problems in a primary school because a lot of them really want to work, and if you keep them active, you mustn't bore them, but keep them active, and they respond accordingly.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have time in your teaching days for any other activities, outside activities, or did teaching take up most of your time?
Well, yes, but some of the interest I did have personally was hockey, as I mentioned, playing for Alfreton and Belper. I was very interested in local history, and I joined Selston WEA. You know, we had tutors, Ron Storer and Donald Grunding. And I did a lot of supporting of my children in their musical pursuits.
Ah.
Now, bear in mind that I'm a non-musician. My wife used to say, you know, the children don't get their musical genes from you.
Yeah.
I said, but I'll be the first to agree with that.
Yeah. Was anyone in family that were musical?
Yes, my wife used to play the piano and the chapel organ.
How long were you at Jacksdale School, Cliff?
I left Jacksdale School to go to, for promotion, I went into Derbyshire at Tipshulf Town End School. If you go through Westhouse, the very first building you come to after going down country lanes is the school, right on the edge of the village. I had one happy year there, but I then got appointed to Underwood School as head. So that's what I did then. Then in the 1970s, I was appointed head of Guilt Hill School, Kimberley. And finally, in 1977, I was appointed head of Holly Hill School until my retirement in 1991. One has to go to County Hall to be interviewed, and there's either the director or the deputy director and about 20 of the local county councillors in a big horseshoe. Rather scary position. But I went three times, and it was the same date for every year. May the 19th.
Yeah. Oh.
So I remember that very clearly.
Were there any local teachers that worked under you when you were headmaster in any of the schools, Cliff? any Jacksdale teachers or pupil teachers or anything? Or?
Yes, I remember down at Jacksdale, Steve Sherrod, he was down there. Arthur Storer was the head. They were colleagues of mine.
As headmaster, was there anyone local that was teaching under you?
Not from Jacksdale, I don't think. No.
No. Where did you meet your wife?
I actually met her at the Church Hall Summercoats Dance one Saturday night. Apparently, most people either went to Lee Brooks Welfare or to the Summercoats Church Hall. And she'd come with a friend from Alfreton, and that was my first introduction. And I found out afterwards she was born less than 200 yards from where I was born.
Ah, what were your interests when your wife was alive, Cliff? Did you, either of you got the same interests or...?
Not really the same. We both liked going on journeys and holidays, but I got a bit of ribbing for wanting every Saturday afternoon to go and play hockey or something like that. Yeah. And you can't always be one-sided.
Where did you first live when you got married, Cliff?
We lived in rooms up at Alfreton, up Wingfield Road. We then moved to Greta's parents' house until we bought the land in Selston in 1957, and then we built the bungalow here.
Oh, this was a plot, it wasn't there before you...
That's right. There was next door David Meeks, and then all the land was owned by the Butterley Company.
Yeah, yeah.
7 and 6 a yard.
Yeah. Did you have a favourite school in your teaching, or...?
No, I enjoyed myself at every school I was at. Yes.
Now, your father lived on Wagstaff Lane. I can remember him when I lived on Wagstaff Lane.
Yeah.
What was his first job, Cliff, before he took up the engineering side?
Well, it was any job that you could get in those days in the early 30s, because I've seen on one form where he worked at Morwood's Pit. And I think my granddad got him that job. But he then moved to Riddings and worked down in the Oaks place. And in 1939, a lot of the machinists were going to the Royal Ordnance Factory in Nottingham. And he said, well, if they're going, I'll go. Because he was a very practical man. And he ended up boring the very large guns, you know, chamber boring, and you know, he had to travel every day to Nottingham, and he went on the train a lot of the times and didn't get off at Jacksdale, was sleeping and woke up at Pinkston and had to get back. But it always had, even at Riddings, in the cellar, it got a lathe and was busy turning and that. It seemed to be a great interest.
Did it rub off on you in those days?
No, I was never inclined that way. But in 47, it took over a little lean-to building by the side of Green's Butcher's Shop, which used to be the first shop that you meet when you've gone past Henshaw's garage and the works. And that was a butcher's shop, and it was down the side there. So, with the help of his brother, they built a small shop. And then by 1953, they extended to form two shops and put a facade on the front. And not content with that, in 55, they built the third shop. Which was roughly 100 feet long by 30, so they're all interconnected.
Yeah.
I can also remember that when they built the second shop, they had his name on it, Norman Beard Mechanical Engineers. Vernon Woodworking Company, next door, made the big door. It had to be 14 foot high in case lorries got to get in two halves and a wicket gate in one of them. And it took four men to carry each half round
from
next door.
Yeah.
And they put them up. How much do you think the cost of that was?
Back in
55.
20 quid a piece.
No, they were £34, the two.
Yeah.
You couldn't buy the timber.
Oh, no.
Just shows you, didn't it?
Yeah.
But,
Was that £34 for the lot, then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
But he had an idea what he wanted to do. And although he didn't get any help from anyone financially, he sort of did it himself. He wanted the height, overhead cranes, so he could take on large work, because, as he said, any silly man could buy 12 swarm machines and put them in a little shed. And that has proved to be the case.
Yeah.
We can now machine a fabrication or a casting 8 metres long, 3.1 metres wide, and heights up to about 2 to 3 feet.
It must be lump of metal.
Yes, but if it's a frame, and we still do them today, they put pads on the top in different positions, one for the engine, gearbox and things like that. We don't make anything.
Yeah.
We just machine to their requirements.
Yeah.
But we've done some very interesting work for various people. And in 1955, he went limited, and he was managing director. And any other, I was also a director and the company secretary. So it's been, from day one, a family concern. And even today, John Phillip, who lives on Stony Lane, he's the managing director, and other directors are family members.
Did he employ all local men in the...
Yes,
start?
Mainly they were people they obviously knew, and I think the furthest anyone comes is about 8 miles. In other words, they use local people, and most of the people have been trained in-house.
Yeah.
And we go from the very rough to the very fine limits.
Oh, yeah, I should think so, yeah.
I mean, we did for many years inspection table metrology instruments for Buckley Company. And you weren't working to thous, you were working to microns.
Yeah.
And there's 25 microns to a thou.
Yeah. Was it a big loss of order when Buckley closed?
No, because as the years went on, you know what they say, one door closes and another opens. Mm. We've had some very good local people. And we mainly do work from Nottinghamshire, Derbyshire, Leicestershire and Yorkshire. And I think the word gets around, because there's not many people can machine that size with single tools. But all the instruments are now driven hydraulically, no gears or anything to go wrong, and on the crossbar, they've had a multi-speed drilling head, so you can machine five faces from one setup, and that has been extremely good.
Oh, yeah.
They call future mill heads.
Yeah. You wouldn't see much of your father in the early days when you were setting the wakes up.
Oh, I was there most days, actually. I did all his books.
Yeah.
Even whilst I was at college. So.
Oh.
Yeah. He never thought that was important.
No. Did you ever have time for a holiday, your father?
Well, in the 1960s, he went to Milltown near Ashover and built himself, as he said, a bungalow. and we didn't see much of him. He just had all the money that was made.
Yeah.
It was very interesting that when they came to buy the land down there, Butley Company knew we'd got some and we wanted a little more. And they said, we'd like to know what you want because we've got some other people who want to, and as you've been there all this time. So we chose the amount we wanted, bought it, but there were no deeds involved. They just gave us bills of sale because I don't think they probably got that. But it's what you'd call a small firm, but with large capacities.
What are your interests nowadays in retirement?
Gardening.
Your gardening. Got no pets apart from the rabbit in your garden.
I've chased that one out. No, we've never been pet lovers. Liked animals, but we would never have an animal inside the house.
Anyway, thank you very much, Cliff.
Pleasure.